God, thank you so much for your faithfulness to each and every one of us, Lord, for the privilege of being able to serve you, and Lord, for the grace that you show us and the mercy. And we want to walk in the things that you have for us and to be sensitive to your leading. And we acknowledge that everything we put our hands to here is yours, Lord. And we want to be good and faithful stewards over the lives of our kids, Lord, the families who are here, of serving beside one another. And so I pray that you would, God, direct this time. We give it to you. We want you to be a part of it. Unless you build the house, Lord, we labor in vain. So we invite you to do your work. Pray that you would just speak through me now, and that you would help us to serve you with the same mind, the same accord, Lord, in unity, and that we would do these things together for your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So first and foremost, I feel like I need like a platform or something. I'm going to try to do my best to see all of you. First of all, thank you so much to each and every one of you who serve. Some of you have been in the game for decades. Some of you have been serving since before I was born, but I won't name you. I won't name who you are, even though it would be an honor. I honor you. And I just want to say thank you. I don't take any of your time for granted. Time is precious. Time is one of the most valuable things that we could ever give somebody. And you give the Lord your time, your labor, your love, your service. And I just want to say thank you so much. I don't expect that you will come back next Sunday necessarily. You never know when the Lord is going to move us on something else or change the seasons for us. So thank you very much for all that you do. And anytime that I have an opportunity, I have to just show off my squad to you. So this is my crew. They come to first service. So some of you are like, you have a family? And I do. That's my family. I have four boys and one on the way. So they are 7, 5, 3, and 1, and they keep me busy, and they're a blessing, and I love them. And so that's my crew. And my wife is Jamie, and you can pray for her. Again, she's one of those first service people. So unless you hear first service, you won't see her. On staff with me, this has been a year of change, a year of transition. Last time we had this meeting, Summer Clark, my sister-in-law, was with us, and she transitioned. She's at home with her little one, and now Marissa McFarland took over for her. She oversees the young special needs room. She does a lot of the onboarding of the new volunteers, the background stuff. Cindy is here. Chris is moving to Guatemala, if you haven't heard, to serve as a missionary full-time. And he will leave for a period of weeks next month and then come back for the summer. And then he will leave in August to go down without a return flight. And so I encourage you to keep him in prayer. He has certainly been a blessing to us and will continue to be so from afar. But taking his place is Josiah Simpson. So if you've seen Josiah around, he is taking over Chris's roles in the sports ministry and everything like that. And you'll see him. And of course, Michelle, Jen, you don't see her as much on a Sunday, but she is faithful in doing all the database stuff and sending out the prayer requests and the lesson plans and all those things as well. So all those guys are on staff, and we are blessed to have them. And you guys should know who your coordinators are, a bunch of coordinators over each one of the age groups. And Lord willing, this is going to be the year where we open up my special needs family, open up a junior, senior high special needs room, and Sam Lakin will be coordinating that. And that's going to be a change this year. So please keep that in prayer. Okay, just one passage of scripture that I wanted to share with you. To give you a snapshot of children's ministry last year, there were about 25,000 kids who signed into children's ministry last year. Not different kids, but touch points. We had that many sign-ins. What does that mean to me? Well, anytime that I am in front of a class of, say, 20 kids, and let's just say for the sake of easy math, they're with me for an hour. Personally, I see that as 20 hours of God's time that is represented in that. And I can either waste that time or I can invest that time and sow into those kids' lives truth and things that won't return void and things that will bear fruit. And so if there were 25,000 touch points of ministry last year from January to December, that is a lot of opportunity to reflect the love of the Lord, shine the light of Christ, to sow the word into kids' hearts, to pray over them. We had well over 3,000 prayer requests that Jen typed up last year. that hopefully all were prayed for, and those are things that maybe would not have been prayed for otherwise, a way that we wouldn't have gotten to love the kids if they had not shared. So, you know, roughly 450 kids come in every Sunday. It's a big ministry, and there's a lot of opportunity, and we never know when one of those kids is going to come, and it's going to be the last time that they're here with us, the last impression that we will leave with them, what kind of a Sunday they had, what kind of a day we were having, what our attitude was like while they were with us. And so, you know, I say all of that just to give us an idea. We want to be good stewards of our time with the kids that God puts in front of us. We had over 500 kids in VBS, over 200 kids in soccer camp, 400 kids in soccer league, same thing with basketball. So there's a lot of happening with kids. And there's a lot of, I just see all of that as opportunity for the Lord, an opportunity that we don't want to miss. So a couple passages of scripture that I want to share with you before we kind of get through the bulk of what we're looking at today. The first is from Matthew 18, where the disciples, surprise, surprise, were asking who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus called a child over to him. Child ran right up, wasn't afraid of Jesus, came right over to him. And Jesus set that child in the midst of his disciples. And he said the following, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Then he says, "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." And it's personal to Jesus. What we do is personal to God. It's not just a stewardship that we have of somebody else's kids, that somebody else being the parents or the grandparents or the family. These are the Lord's kids. And he says, receive them, and in so doing, receive me. I wanna marry that to one other passage of scripture that's just been on my heart. I've been reading through Matthew with my family at home. And he says this, when the Son of Man comes in the glory and his holy angels are with him, and he divides the sheep from the goats, and he says to those who are on his right hand, to the sheep, he says, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous answered and said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you a drink? See you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will say, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." And then there are those where he says, "I was hungry and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was in prison, you did not visit me." And they will say the same. Well, when did that happen? And they did not do that to the least of these. And so they did not do it to him. It was a rejection of Jesus. And I think of that in the light of the opportunities that are in front of us. All of us know the story of the Good Samaritan. And we think about the two guys who walked by on the other side at this great need that lay in front of them. But I think there are needs that the Lord puts before us that are more subtle, that we might not see unless we ourselves are fully present and seeking the Lord to direct our hearts and direct our minds and direct our eyes and our attention to the kids in need that he puts in front of us in both special needs ministry and in children's ministry. And so I just think to the Lord, "Lord, I never want to stand before you one day and for you to bring to my attention all the times that you did have a need, the times that you were lonely, the times that you were hurt and broken and sad, but I didn't go and I didn't speak to you. I didn't pray with you. I didn't minister to you. I didn't warmly welcome you at the door. I didn't do any of those things," because Jesus says, "Hey, whoever receives one of these little ones in my name receives me." And I want to be on guard personally always against missing the needs and the opportunities, 25,000 opportunities to put God's heart on display from babies on up through fifth grade to our adults in special needs in their 40s. And that is something that we have to be intentional about every week, because we have bad days and we have busy schedules and we have burdens that we carry in our own heartache. But if you have signed up to serve in ministry, then the things that we juggle and carry and are burdened with can't get in the way of what the Lord wants to do through us to the lives of those kids. if parents are entrusting kids to our care, we need to be diligent to be on the lookout for what are the things that God is putting in front of me to have compassion on. And so that's just a little challenge to you, a challenge to myself, something that I've been thinking and praying on. And I would encourage you to do the same. But for today, you'll see this on all of our stuff, No Grow Show. And I just wanted to share briefly some verses that are connected to it. This is the snapshot version. If somebody says, what do you guys do in your children's ministry? What's the heart behind your children's ministry? The same is true of special needs. No Grow Show. No just means that we are telling the kids who God is. And Jesus would say, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. We want kids to come to know God. And when they come to know God, to know his power, his forgiveness, his grace, his love, his mercy, then everything else is going to fall into place. You get saved when you come to know God. And once you are saved, our desire is discipleship, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to grow, we want our kids growing. The goal for children's ministry is not just the salvation of everyone who comes in. It is the discipleship of the kids who are saved. And as soon as you are saved, you can be discipled. My two older boys, they got saved when they were 4 years old. They did it of their own accord. They asked my wife and I independently. We didn't push it on them or anything like that. And most recently, a couple weeks ago, my Jeremiah, a 3-year-old, he prayed to receive the Lord, and he did that of his own accord. God is able to impress truth on young hearts to draw them to himself. That's why one of the questions on our application is a 5-year-old too young to receive the Lord, to come to salvation? The answer is no. My wife has been fearlessly and faithfully following the Lord since she was 5 years old. And that's amazing. I don't know how it came in front of my eyes. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, he came back from one of his, evangelistic events, and someone was asking him, how many people got saved? And his response, maybe you've heard this, was 2.5. And somebody said, oh, 2 adults and a child? And he said, no, 2 children and 1 adult. The adult's life is half lived already. But those kids have their whole lives in front of them to live for Jesus, to impact the world for the kingdom, to shine as lights in the world. And D.L. Moody said, hey, if I could do it all over again, I would spend my entire ministry serving children. That's where the fruit is. And the majority of people come to know the Lord who are under 18 years old. The younger kids have way more opportunities, way more. It is just more natural for them to turn to the Lord. They haven't been so tarnished by the world, so broken, so beat up, spit out, the whole deal, hardened. And so share the gospel with the kids and pray for their salvation. And once they do get saved, disciple them to know the Lord, to be biblically literate, to grow in him, teach them how to pray, all the things. And then to show, to put on display. How do you know if somebody's saved? Well, you see fruit in their life. And we can see fruit in the lives of children. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Know, grow, and show. That's the snapshot of everything that we're doing in children's ministry. Know the Lord's salvation, grow them. That's discipleship. Put it on display. Obedience to the word and evangelism. That's our heart for everything that we do here. And so that's why you're going to see those on our material and things like that. Let's see. We are going to get into your booklets here. I'm going to skip over some slides here. Let the little children come to me is all of our policies. You'll see that verse on the back of your little booklets if you have them. As you do to the least of these, you do to me. Really quick, before we get into the manual, a couple new things that you're going to see this year. One is, Lord willing, in the coming weeks, an app called Services through Church Planning Center. And right now, my method of contacting you guys is email primarily, sometimes a phone call. You just get that little feeling of warmth in your heart every time you see Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia. And you're like, I wonder what Chris is going to say this time. Yeah, the voicemail, the pre-recorded messages, the texts that go out. Services is going to be a mobile app, and it's going to have everyone's scheduling on there, and it will send push notifications, and you can block out areas of your schedule that you're not available, or if we have some spots open up where we have holes in the schedule, it'll let you know, and you can just hit a button and jump in to help out. It's just a less archaic way of communication, more modern. And so they use that over at Calvary Quakertown. They say it works really well, so more information will be forthcoming on that. The other one is Protect My Ministry, and this is for all the adults in the room. And if you are 18 years old or older, you're an adult. We have everyone, once they're 18, get their clearances. We are mandatory reporters in PA. Sometimes God allows abusive situations to roll through our children's ministry in terms of kids who are in a negative situation, just to bring that situation to light. And so I have called DHS. I have called Child Protective Services. I ask that if you ever see anything, a question of an abusive situation, a suspicion of abuse, that you come let me know or you make the call yourself. But if you do make the call, please come tell me at least. And so as Christians, I think that we should, regardless of our role, anytime, anywhere, we should all think of ourselves as mandatory reporters, because that's where we want to be like the Good Samaritan, to see a need and to help. And so you don't need proof, you just need suspicion, and that could be of neglect, of abuse, or whatever. And so there's a little 40-minute video that you guys are going to get that will go to your email, it'll get shot out, you'll watch it, there'll be a little quiz at the end, and then a certificate that you get, and that is just to equip us better to, well, how would I even know if a kid, if I should have red flags going off? And so we want to be proactive in protecting the children that are under our care. And we wouldn't want to miss if God brought a child through our care, if maybe there was something that we would have clearly seen if we had a little more information. So it's really just to equip us to better look out for the kids that are going to be in our care. And special needs, people with disabilities are in a high-risk age group, especially our friends who are nonverbal. So for children's ministry and special needs ministry alike. Also forthcoming will be a missionary of the month. I'm trying to get our kids more globally minded. So I do this in CPAC, and every month the missionary changes, and I'm working with someone who does graphics in our church to put together like a half sheet with some fun facts about the country that we're praying for, where the missionary is serving, a map of where it is on the world, so that as a family, kids can say, hey, this month we're praying for the Gorley family. They're in not the state of Georgia, they're in the country of Georgia. Let's look up that on the map. Where's that on the globe? Let's look at the, you know, the whole thing. So that'll be forthcoming as well. The ministry manual, some things to look through. Get ready for some engagement. Get ready for some nice, easy, true and false questions. Okay, Proverbs 11:25 says, he who waters will himself be watered. You'll find that as you serve, you'll be blessed in return. And as much as you pour out, the Lord will pour into you. And the goal for this manual is that you will be equipped and prepared to know my heart and hopefully the Lord's heart for your time with the children or in special needs ministry or wherever it is. A lot of the things that we talk about with volunteers on the day-to-day, they are in the manual. They are covered in the meeting. And I have sat down with you in recent years, if you are a volunteer who's come on the past couple years, and gone over the manual with you in your interview with me. So none of these things should take you by surprise. All the staff contact information's in there. Again, Josiah Simpson, he's coming in. Chris Lieberman, I would encourage you not to be reaching out to him for things that you need, as he will be in another country. But be reaching out to Josiah for those things. Okay, first true and false. Here we go. If you are serving this month, you don't have to attend a church service yourself. All right. Wow. Oh, you guys, you're blessing my heart. Church attendance is essential for all of our growth. We want to be in fellowship. We want to be worship. You got to be sitting under the word. This is what the church has done for the past 2,000 years. This is first and foremost how we grow in our walk with the Lord. My primary concern for each and every one of you, please hear me when I say, is not that I would have the whole covered on Sunday. It's your own personal walk with the Lord. As soon as that begins to suffer, that takes priority. So you need to be in the word, and you need to be in prayer, and you need to be in fellowship. You need to be sitting under Joe yourself. I want the ministry that takes place here in our own hearts to be shaped by the pastor that God has raised up to oversee our church. And so unless we're being shaped by the word as Joe is teaching it, this is all under his leadership. And so we should be sensitive to the ways that God is leading Pastor Joe and Pastor Mike, and let that trickle down into how we interact with the kids and serve one another and serve in children's ministry. Serving is a commitment. What does that mean? That means it will require sacrifice. That means that there is going to be some denial of self that takes place sometimes, because you are scheduled to serve in children's ministry, and then somebody invited you to a party last minute, or, you know, something else comes up where, you know, you're invited to do something, this or that. And I would just encourage you, like, you have something else on the schedule at that point. And yes, it's okay if you plan ahead and if you miss things, but sometimes it's like people go on these surprise vacations the next day to Jamaica, and you're like, I'm pretty sure you had this planned for some time now, and you just didn't tell anybody about it. I don't think you just purchase these tickets last night. And so, you know, it is a commitment. Do your best to arrive at the time that you are serving when you are scheduled to serve, because we're counting on you and your coordinators are counting on you. We are happy that you are there. All of you are there because I trust you, and I'm glad for you to shine the heart of Christ on the kids around. It doesn't mean you can never miss, but we should be faithful in our service. And I feel like sometimes this is an area where some of us can get lax in. We call out of children's ministry in a way that we wouldn't necessarily call out of our workplace, even though this maybe is even the higher calling than that. All that we do should be as unto the Lord. And we should be thinking about children's ministry more than just Sundays, more than just Wednesdays. Special needs ministry, same thing. Be praying for the kids throughout the week. That's why we send the prayer requests out. And those prayer requests range in severity of what's going on in the child's life, but be faithful to lift them before the Lord in those things. And then when it is time for you to stop serving, come tell me about it. Just talk to me about it. Really, no stress. I want to say thank you. I want to pray for you, whatever the Lord has next for you. And so please do your best to serve the Lord in that way. There's going to be other opportunities to serve. Holes in the schedules. Check your email on Saturday or whatever. At some point, I'll say, hey, here's what this weekend is looking like. If we need any help, feel free to jump in. And I would encourage you to jump in as you're able to. If lots of us jump in, then nobody will get burned out. If you ever see in the sanctuary the black box where we call parents to come back and get their kids, if you ever see all nines go up, that's the 911 for children's ministry. That is all hands on deck. The ship is sinking. The building is burning down. The kids are taking over. We need help right now. When that goes up, Pastor Joe should see a mass exodus out of the sanctuary. It says everybody's coming. Where do you go? You go to the nursery, and they will tell you where help is needed. And usually a bunch of people get up. You guys have been awesome at this. And then we send a bunch of people away and we have one or two stay. But just so you know, if you ever see the nines go up, that's what it means. And there's going to be opportunities to serve at Saturday events. I know that not all of you help, you know, sign up to help out in special needs ministry, but throughout the year we have these Saturday events, and families come and they have kids who have special needs and kids who don't have special needs, ranging from baby age on through adulthood. So if you're ever able to jump in on a Saturday, feel free to do that. All right. True or false? Your turn. Lanyards are optional so long as people know who you are. All right. Good job. Good job. Love you guys. Lanyards are not optional. Look, there's me. There's both my lanyards. Lanyards are not optional as we minister. Listen, I know who you are. And most other people know who you are, but sometimes there's a new volunteer who starts serving. It's really important for everyone to know they belong with the kids. They're part of the team. It's important for security to know if they see adults walking around the children's ministry area without a lanyard, we assume they don't belong there. Hi there. How can I help you? How can I lead you away from the children's ministry? You're making people feel really uncomfortable. A lot of churches have a single point of entry for their children's ministry, and it's a wall and a barrier. We don't have that. We have through traffic all the time. And so we're like on alert constantly, and people are just walking through. There don't need to be people hanging out in the children's ministry hallways, walking around, just sitting on the floor. There was a guy on his phone sitting on the floor outside of one of the children's ministry classrooms this past Wednesday. I said, hey, brother, what are you doing? Church is happening right now. I was like, oh, sorry. And he left. I was like, good, get out of here. Yeah. Come serve in children's ministry, I'll give you a lanyard. Our clothing should always be modest. It should never distract. And also what we wear should be like ready for action. What do I mean by that? You need to be ready to like get down on the floor with the kids, move around with them, do the motions in kids club. So, you know, it's not the place necessarily to put the high heels on and to get all dressed up and, give God your best in that sense. You got to get ready to, you know, get on the floor and wrestle. Not really, but to be active with the kids. Always wear your lanyard. For scheduling, you have your coordinator. Please don't arrange for your own coverage if you're not going to make it. Involve your coordinator in that decision because they're the one who kind of schedules the whole thing. So make sure to keep them in the loop. And for those of you, you know, again, this is one of those things. I don't know how this happens, but somehow schedules change. I sit down with every volunteer and I say, hey, I ask that you serve a month at a time. That's for a whole month that you're going to serve. And then you're going to have the next month off. If you want to, you can serve every month if you want. That's what I did when I was a volunteer. You just serve every week. Praise the Lord. That's good. A lot of you guys are serving in like a couple different ministries. So you do children's ministry 1 month and security the next month. That's totally fine. But a month at a time. Why? Because that allows for the kids to get to know you, consistency with relationships, consistency working with the same group of volunteers. And it's just good across the board. And so sometimes, you know, people change their own schedules and they say, maybe I'll just do 2 weeks at a time, or maybe I'll switch it to just once a month. And that's totally fine. Just if you can't do the whole month at a time, let me know and I will send you to Michelle Tuttle in nursery and you can hang out with some screaming babies. And there's a penalty for that. No, but because the consistency isn't as important there. So we're serving a month at a time. That's part of the commitment. Also, if you notice that you have plenty of help, please do not put it upon yourself to send anyone away. No one who is scheduled to serve should be sent away. If they want to serve, let them serve. And if you guys don't need help, somebody else probably does. So let us know, get on the radio, say, hey, we have more than enough help in the 2-year-old room. Do you guys need anyone else anywhere? And then we'll, you know, be flexible, move people around. All right. True or false? If you are just a little bit sick, it's okay for you to serve. My wife said, is that true of you too? I said, it doesn't apply if you're staff. Yeah, there's no, don't quantify sickness, right? It's not I'm a little bit sick. So, you know, no, just please keep your germs away from us. If you're sick, stay home, let your coordinator know as early as possible. Communication is key. Keep your coordinator in the loop for everything that's going on. Communicate, even if you're running a little bit late. General policies and procedures in the classroom. True or false? I can use my phone for pictures and illustrations while I'm teaching. False. It is false. I'm going to throw some true ones in there just to throw you guys off eventually. But right now it's all been false. No cell phone use is permitted while serving. No cell phone use. Keep the phones away, please. It's fine if you have the phone out initially because you got there 30 minutes before the service starts and you've already set up the room and you've already prayed and now you're waiting for kids to arrive. That's fine. If you want to show off your new puppy or your grandkid or whatever. But as soon as kids are there, phones are away. They're not coming out. Whatever was so important for you to show on your phone to another volunteer, it's not important anymore. The kid is. We receive him into the room. We welcome him. We make him feel warm and welcome. And that's not one volunteer's job. I get not wanting to swarm the kid with five big bodies all around them, welcoming the one kid into the classroom. But it doesn't mean that the other volunteers can chill out, continue on their phone while the other volunteer is with the kid. 100% of the attention goes onto the kid. Phones remain away. No need to use the phone. Do not take photos. Do not take videos of kids. Definitely don't post photos and videos of the children that are serving in children's ministry. And if you do want to show a video or anything, just ask me first. These are here because people have done them. So how do I communicate? You communicate with this radio, a walkie-talkie. Come on, when you were a kid, this is all you wanted. You wanted one of these. And so you use this. This is your friend. You keep it off when it is not in use. And then when you need to use it, you turn it on. Otherwise, you're hearing all this other chatter that's going to be a distraction in your room. And so if you have never used a walkie, then get used to it. You be the one to do your radio check. What does that mean? That means every single day, every single service, you're getting on the radio, you're turning it on, hearing that noise, pushing the side button and saying, hey, this is Chris in the CPAC, just doing my radio check. Release the button when you're done. You could say over. And then you'll hear somebody else say, all right, thanks, Chris and CPAC. Good job doing your radio check. Then they release their button. And then you both turn your radios off. And it's all good. Your radio works. Why is that important? Because if you have a kid whose number needs to get up, you're getting on your radio. If you have a medical emergency, you're getting on the radio. If you have a sick kid, you're getting on the radio. There's a lot of things we would use our radio for. Extra craft supplies. Guess what we're not doing when we need more stuff on our cart? We're not going through the whole entire building asking where Cindy Ballard is. We're not leaving our classroom. We are doing none of those things. We are getting on our radio and we are stating what we need without leaving our classroom. We are always two adult volunteers in the classroom if kids are in the classroom. What does it mean if you leave your classroom to go to the neighboring classroom to get more supplies off the cart? That means that you just left a volunteer alone in a classroom with a bunch of kids. But I'm just next door. No, that volunteer is alone in the classroom with a bunch of kids. And anything could happen. Any accusation could be made. And there's only one person there who could say anything. I don't have these rules in place because I don't trust you. I do. I have these rules in place to protect us and to protect our kids, because I don't need some random guy in the hallway looking into a classroom and realizing, oh, they let you in the room alone with kids in this ministry. Maybe I'll sign up. Or I don't need a child saying, he touched me here, or she tickled me there, or any of these things. That has happened, and there were other volunteers to see what actually happened, and I'm glad that there were. And so it's to protect us, it's to protect the kids, it's to be above reproach. So the rule that we have is two volunteers, two adult volunteers present, or an adult volunteer and two volunteers under 18 is okay as well. And so use your radio, don't leave the classroom, stay at least two in the classroom. Okay, sick policy for the kiddos. If a child is sick, guess what? They can't come either. And so we ask that they do not stay, or if you notice that they're sick afterwards, then we call their parent to come pick them up. Must be fever-free for at least 24 hours to return. I had a parent load up her kid on Tylenol first and drop her off in children's ministry, and she thought that was okay. I said, nope, still sick. Didn't take care of the germs. Get out of here. And we would never give any kind of medications. Injuries. Injuries are going to happen. Because kids hurt themselves and other kids all the time. It's just what they do. Run into walls, throw things, pull each other's hair, bite, yell, scream, slap. Just all of it. Kids hurt each other and hurt themselves. So it's going to happen. If it does happen, then I ask that you fill out an accident report form. I think I have a photo. I think I'm ignoring like half my slides. I worked so hard. Radios. Cart. There's all your stuff on the cart. Blue folder with a bunch of stuff in there. That's good for you. Accident reports. One of those things in the blue folder is the accident report form. All right. So if you have a nosebleed, like this happened last week, child has a nosebleed, something happened, medical team was called. All right. Here's what we did. Here's how we intervened. Here's the volunteers who saw it, the volunteer signature, and then the parent signature on there at the end, just to make sure that we told the parent. And then that gets uploaded into our system so we can keep record of it. You know how things crazy can get, special needs ministry, children's ministry. The room is just crazy, especially at sign out time. And then we plan on telling the parent what happened, but then the child came and left and we didn't realize, oh, mom was at the door, totally meant to tell her this thing. Now I have to remember to tell Chris, hey, can you tell mom, here's what happened. We don't have a signature that mom even found out that her kid got hit in the head by the door or whatever. So that helps us keep record of those things. You guys do have a first aid kit with bandages and stuff in it and a cold pack. And so most things can be handled with that. If you run out of anything, you leave the room and go find Cindy Ballard. No, you get on the radio and you ask for more Band-Aids. If anything happens that you want to make sure you remember to tell mom or dad, then yes. First aid, medical emergency, get on your radio and ask for help. There's a team of nurses, doctors, always somebody to respond medically in the event that we need it. Okay, new section in your manual, child abuse awareness. This is new. Proverbs 31 talks about being a voice for the voiceless, speaking up for those who don't have a voice, defending those who aren't able to defend themselves. Volunteers 18 or older are going to be required to take a child abuse awareness training from Protect My Ministry. You can take the full 2 to 3 hour training that's provided by the state. I'll send you links to do that. If you really want to be really, really equipped, that's what I have to take as a nurse, and all mandatory reporters have to take that. I want to equip you guys with a snapshot of just the reality that we live in a really evil, crooked, and sinful world where people want to harm children. And I don't think that's you guys. Otherwise, you wouldn't be serving in children's ministry or special needs ministry. But those people exist, and those people might walk through our church building, and our children's ministry is open. It's not a single point of entry. And so we want to be aware, and we want to be on guard. So if you notice anything unusual, on a child, really, really dirty, seems neglected, just off, you know, flinching when you reach your hand out, any of those things, then just, you know, with suspicion, we need to report it. Anyone can report, but if you do, please let me know. I want to be included in that. Inclusion. We desire kids of all abilities to find a place of belonging in our Sunday school rooms. We do our best to make our friends with special needs welcome and include them in as much as possible in every aspect of Sunday school. Please hear me, children's ministry volunteers. I know you didn't sign up for special needs ministry, but the reality is you did when you signed up for children's ministry. And the same is true of people who signed up to serve in junior high. And the same is true of people who served to sign up in senior high. Special needs ministry covers the whole spectrum of ages, all seasons of life, and they are to be included in every aspect of our church that we can. And we are happy to have them because, I mean, we are a body and every part is needed for the body. And we not only need them, they need us. And so there needs to be a giving and a taking there. The goal for kids with special needs in our ministry is not survival. It's not just tolerance. It is love and acceptance and belonging and welcome into the fold. And if you're going to walk around while I'm teaching, Lord, help me to get used to it. And it's all good. And there's going to be fidgets. And some kids might need noise-canceling headphones. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because this strung out parent who's at the end of her rope, who hasn't found any place of belonging anywhere, has finally found a church she can call her home, and where she's not chased away, and where the last thing that she was left with is, here's all the horrible things that Tommy did during Sunday school today. And so we want to be a place of belonging. And I know that's hard. And I know that I need to do a better job at providing training. And I know there's ways that we can improve. But it starts with being willing in your heart for whatever God wants to do. So that is something that God is doing here at Calvary Philly, and I'm thankful for it. And I don't want to push against what he is doing. When possible, we'll provide a buddy, one-to-one, for a child who needs redirection, help in the classroom, assistance in the room that might fall on you as your responsibility until we get somebody. I was just talking to someone in second grade who probably needs a buddy. And sometimes kids grow out of the buddy system, and then a little later, they might need a buddy again. So that is something that is just open communication. Fidget tools are available on the Sunday school carts as needed, as long as they're not distracting. It's all good. And noise-canceling headphones as well. If you think a child might have special needs, just come talk to me about it, because I will have those conversations with the parents. I ask that I have those conversations. Maybe if you're comfortable, you can mention something. Maybe if the parent says something, then you can put it on my radar. But the way that you leave a parent isn't, hey, do you think your child has autism? And that's the last thing they hear from you. And I bring that up because people have said it, just like that. Pretty sure your child's autistic. And that's not okay. Let the little children come to me, Jesus said, right? And don't hinder them. And of course, one of the goals that we're working towards with special needs ministry is that junior senior high room, and to have more training available for you guys. Before sign in, if you're following along in the manual, let's make sure I haven't lost my mind here. Oh, just one other thing I wanted to highlight, the yellow sheets. Make sure that they're in legible handwriting. They have changed a little bit to ask some questions. There's a question, any special needs on there now? Because more and more in our world, there's just special needs are a part of the everyday life. And we need signatures for sign in and for sign out, and they should match. And you give the parent a temporary number and let them know next week when they come in, we'll grab your picture. You'll have a permanent number that'll be yours forever. But just do a double check to make sure that you can actually read what is being written there, because we do have a lot of different cultures, a lot of different alphabets represented. So just do a double check on that. And if a guardian is not listed in the tablet, there is a guardian ad request. And that needs to be approved by a current guardian. Or if somebody's dropping off a child, we just assume guardianship at that point because they brought the kid. But we never release a kid to someone who's not listed as a guardian. We'll receive a kid from anybody, but we're not going to give a kid to anybody. So keep that in mind. Arrival. Arrive 30 minutes before each service starts to set up the rooms, to pray together. That is not getting here early. That is not getting here so that you can hit the teacher's lounge beforehand. 30 minutes before the service starts is when you should be in your classroom. And when we take time to actually pray with and for one another before we step into service, before the first kid arrives, then it changes everything. It changes how you relate to each other in the classroom. You're not just rushing in as the first kid comes in, rushing to set up, take the chairs down, put the craft out, the worksheets out. You're actually getting to know the brothers and sisters you are serving alongside of, the things that are burdening them, the things that hurt them. Let me tell you something. If you serve in children's ministry or special needs ministry, please know that I pray for you every single week. And I try to get to know you all well enough so that I can know how specifically to be praying. But the people that you serve with should know how to be praying for you, and you should take time to pray for one another. You're serving together. And a lot of time that Good Samaritan thing passing by on the other side, it happens when we're just like, yo, I'm just staying in my lane. I'm coming here and I'm leaving. I'm not interested in like talking with you, praying with you, staying extra afterward. None of that stuff. Just let's serve and let's get out. And that doesn't honor the Lord. This is something that relational that we do together to serve the kids. By the way that we love one another, the world will know that we're his disciples. And so, that starts by showing up on time. On time. So if you get here 30 minutes before the service starts, you don't have time to go to the lounge. You can hit the lounge afterwards and be ready to jump in. And if you feel like you arrived 30 minutes before, the room is set up, or, you know, you've prayed and there's nothing else to do, then great. Then just chat with each other, hang out. And as soon as that first kid shows up, explode with joy and celebration. Like they're the only person on the planet that you've been waiting for to arrive. The VIP has arrived and you're welcoming them in and making them feel awesome. Letting them know how much Jesus loves them. Check your tablet. Make sure it's on the right date, the right age group, the right service. Do your radio check and then you're good to go. It's all good. Signing in. True or false? Volunteers 16 and older can use the tablet for sign-in. It used to be that volunteers 16 and older could sign kids in. Now it's 18 and up. And it's not because our teenagers don't know how to use technology. This hurt us in many ways to change this rule. It is because there is enough happening at the door with sign-in that an adult needs to take responsibility for legal situations where our kids have custody stuff going on, or, you know, a parent is sharing medical information at the door or a need or any of those things. So just because the person at the door is like the guardian for the classroom, you know, don't want people barging into the room, it's best that an adult takes that role. Especially for the legal thing. So at least two adults or one adult and two volunteers under 18 in the room before kids sign in. Kids can sign in 15 minutes before the service starts. If you guys have set up, have prayed, and are ready to receive, fine to take kids a little bit early. But don't get there at 9:30 and accept the kid who shows up at 9:35 in your classroom, because then you're not able to actually pray with each other, share with each other, do the thing that you need to do to get ready. And so not early unless you're set up and have already prayed. Never be alone with a child, ever. Ask the parent to stay until another volunteer arrives. If you're by yourself, get on the radio. And tablets should be preset with everything that you need. All right, tablets. I think I have a thing for you. If you can see it. So here's your sign-in sheet. It should all be there, all ready to go when you get there. You double-check the date, the service, the grade, everything that you need, and then you're ready to go. Type in the name, and you can type in first name, last name, partial name. You can put the their number in there and do the search, and then the families will come up. And there's my dude, Christopher, and you just tap sign in, and guardians come up, and you click sign in to room one, and then he's all good to go, all set. If you do not see the person dropping off at your room, they are not listed as a guardian, but here they are in front of you. You're going to do what's called a one-time sign-in. So you scroll to the bottom of the guardians there and you tap one-time sign-in, and then the photo option comes up and you click the camera and you take the person's photo. And that photo is going to be saved just for that service so that you know you can release the child back to that person if they come back after service. Otherwise, they're not listed under the guardians. And so that's a one-time sign-in. And if they're going to be regularly doing it, you do a guardian ad form so that next time they're listed as the guardians and we can get a photo that will stick and kind of go from there. Does that make sense? All right. If you are afraid of the tablet and have never done sign-in, next week is your week. You're up. And that's going to be for you. We all need to be able to do it. It's not too scary. Once everybody is signed in, you tap the sign out tab, and that brings up your whole class list, the number of kids that you should have, all of their pictures, all of their ages, who signed them in. This tablet also shows you the kids' birthdays, which is an extra bonus to pay attention to. What? Happy birthday. I saw you had a birthday yesterday. No wonder you're looking so big today. Wow. And make them special and feel like involved. Yeah, we do the birthday thing at Kids Club or whatever, but if you notice that it was their birthday, that's a big deal if you notice and you say something about it, and you make it a big deal because they're a big deal because God loves them. And as you receive them, you're actually receiving the Lord. So pay attention to that. And if you need to update a photo, especially if there's no photo, you just tap that blank icon and it will say take a photo. You click it, you take the photo, make sure that your tablet is in horizontal with the flap on the bottom. This is extra bonus information. If you mess up the photo, we'll fix it. But take the photo and then just close out and it'll put the photo in there. If you notice that you have a 10-year-old in your class and it looks like his last picture was taken when he was a toddler, then you can also just click his current picture and the same option will come up. Take a photo, it'll update automatically with the photo that you just took, and you will be good to go. The tablets, again, yellow boxes will show custody issues, red boxes will show medical things. 18 and up can sign in and out. No parents allowed in the classroom. We might allow it one time, maybe one time, but they are not to interact with any of the other kids. They are there just for their child. And if it's going to become regular, which that's always a conversation that I have with them, they're going to need to go through the whole thing, get background checks, the whole deal. Children can't sign themselves in. What else has been happening? Something strange where people realize that we have a great children's ministry and man, why not go on a date for the next hour and a half and just drop them off and leave the building and come back to pick up? No cost to us at all. This is great. A responsible adult needs to be in the building if a child is going to be dropped off in children's ministry. And that's really important. So it's no like, wait, who's the adult here? No adult, just here with my sister. Our aunt dropped us off and here we are. That can't happen. So let me know and I'll reach out to the parents and we'll sort that all out. If parents want a sibling to stay, the older child must stay with the younger. One time. It's all cool. Like, I'll go talk to the parents. I'll let them know, hey, it's all going to be okay. It's going to be great. It's all going to be fine. Volunteers, I ask that you gravitate towards the really uncomfortable looking kid in the room. Somebody having a really hard time just this morning in the CPAC. They were having a hard time coming in. They were screaming, crying, went right over to him. Hey, what's going on, man? Come on. I saved you a spot. Get on over here. Do you like music? Do you like guitar? Come look at my guitar. Do you want to strum it? Yeah, strum it. Hey, that's not too loud. It's not going to be crazy. We're all good. And he came right in. It was all good. And you just need to, a lot of times if a kid's freaking out, screaming, parents like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to take it. You'd be like, hey, no, it's all good. I will peel him off you if you want me to. That's totally fine. Like, I want you to get into service. Kicking and screaming, it's all good. If you're okay with me doing that. But let's like work with them. Get down on your knee, on their level, talk calmly. A soft answer turns away wrath and craziness and frustration and all that stuff. And just be a human to them. Be Jesus to them. Put God's heart on display to them. And do your best to welcome them in. It's not like being like some kind of, child guru, whisperer person that is somehow like kids just, they melt in your hands and they become putty and they can do whatever you say. I don't know who that person is. They're weird. They're not allowed to serve in church. That's weird. But if you put God's heart on display, then kids will gravitate towards that. Kids were comfortable around Jesus. Be like Jesus and it'll all be good. Make them feel at ease. And then let their parents know, hey, they did an awesome job. They were totally fine. I saw you creeping around that corner, listening to see if he was still screaming. He's totally cool. We got this. No worries. Enjoy service. He's having a blast. It's all good. All right. I don't think I meant to talk about that long. Classroom time. This goes for special needs ministry too, my friends. Look, we're all unique. We're all individual, uniquely gifted and graced by God to serve the church. To serve the church, we're gifted for others. And so I'm thankful to have all of your giftings represented in children's ministry. That's awesome. But there are things that should be the same, that should be common for us. And I ask that these things do not change. Our goal is to point kids to Jesus so they can know, grow, and show, like we talked about. It starts with putting God's heart on display so kids can come to get to know him through us. So that happens. Kids get to know God. Kids get discipled, they grow, and kids get empowered and emboldened to put that on display to show when we keep the main things the main things. And at Calvary Chapel, that's the Bible. The Bible is where God talks to us. We teach from the Bible. We encourage kids to bring their Bibles. Even if they can't read yet, I'm totally cool. They should know I'm going to church. Where's my Bible? I want them to have that association. Once they can read, I want them to start doing their best to read their Bible. First grade, we have Bibles on the cart, reader's version. Get them engaging with God's word. That's where the life is going to happen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We want our kids to get saved. It's not going to be through your awesome gospel presentation. It's going to be through the Holy Spirit who is working through the word. And so share the word, put God on display, and let him draw kids to himself. Help build Bible literacy. That means your lesson plan might need to be for 10 minutes instead of for 20, because you know you're going to be helping kids find places in the Bible, that kids are going to be stumbling through reading some of the verses, and that's totally fine. That's totally, we don't expect them to read like adults. We don't expect them to find where James is right away. We don't expect that. We're there to train them, to disciple them, to help them grow in the Lord and the love of the Word. And we do work on the memory verses. A little note on the memory verse, guys, is the memory verses no longer, you know this, you've shared with me, they no longer match up with the lesson. And so it's not a memory verse to reinforce the lesson, where each age group has a different memory verse. It is a memory verse that is the same across the board that they can work on together as a family unit. And the way that I choose those memory verses is to fill in gaps, to fill out discipleship, doctrines, knowledge, promises. And it's almost like the memory verse is its own thing. All right, we love him because he first loved us is a truth that I want them to chew on all week long and for them to draw out of that what God is going to teach them. And so a lot of times it feels like I just taught the lesson and now I'm teaching this memory verse that is completely disconnected. And sometimes that'll just be the case. But it's something that I'm encouraging families to do. Hey, do this together as a family. Work on it together and let God use it to disciple your kids. Prayer. Talking to God. We take the prayer requests. Jen typed up over 3,000 prayer requests last year to be praying for the kids. Kids are never more open than when you take prayer requests. You get to know the deep things going on in their lives, their family's lives. And we can joke about that and like, hey, you wouldn't know all the dirty secrets in the church, just ask for prayer requests. No, that's fine. I mean, that's partly true. But if we learn anything through asking for prayer requests, it should be to come alongside of those families and to actually pray. And so if anything ever comes to light, sometimes I reach out to you guys because I see a particular prayer request and say, hey, did you follow up with that? Did so-and-so's dad really die this week? Sometimes it's like it got miswritten down or like, you know, misunderstood, but sometimes it's genuine and it's real. And you find out somebody's in the hospital. You find out mom and dad are fighting at home. You find out, you know, all kinds of things. So please bring those things to me so that can be dealt with pastorally if I need to step into anything. Take prayer requests, put them on the board or put them on the prayer request sheet and we'll type them up. They get emailed out. I would encourage you guys to use prayer pose. I say it in kids club, say it before I lead worship. Kids generally know it means, hey, we're going to snap to attention, quiet, ready to pray or ready to read the Bible. I say prayer pose and I every once in a while train the kids. You know what? We're getting sloppy. Hey, let's redo it. Let's work on this. You guys are horrible. You've really fallen off the track here. Let's the boys against girls. Let's see who can do it better, quieter, faster, and just get them back in the habit of it. And then, you know, that is used as a way to get everybody quiet, ready for the word in your class. Worship. Lead by example. Help kids to focus, refocus. Be among the kids. This for the classroom too, but especially in kids club. It's okay to have a border. That's totally fine to have some people on the outside because some kids are going to bolt away or you might be able to have a more bird's eye view on things so that you can see who's being disruptive. But a lot of the disruption stops when we go in among the kids. And when we're just next to them or sitting with them or whatever the case is, as opposed to the kids look around, they realize, hey, all the adults, they're on the outside of the circle. What can we do on the inside? And they just start messing with each other or talking or poking each other or pulling hair or biting or chewing or throwing or a WWE, whatever happens in there. Anything can happen. And a lot of times if we all stand on the outside, we start having conversations with each other and lose focus. And a lot of times if I'm leading worship, I am during that time while I'm focusing on the Lord, and while I'm trying to remember the next chord and while I'm singing the words, I am looking for volunteers that I can like give a nod to notice like this kid over here needs some direction. and so sometimes I'll just lock my gaze on a child until a volunteer realizes that, wait, he's been staring at that kid for a long time. What's he going? Or I might like nod or, you know, do my little secret motion. So just be aware during worship time. Be a help, not a hindrance. It's not time to play with the kids. It's not time to, you know, help them misbehave or get wild. It's time to help them focus on the Lord. Fellowship. Discipleship happens in the context of relationship. Learn their names. Get to know them. Get to know what sports they like. Do they have any pets at home? Do they have any siblings? What's their favorite color? What are they doing after church? Get to know the kids. Converse with them. That just shows that you care. Give them the gift of your curiosity. And as soon as you find one thing that they love, you're in. And it's like, oh, they have a dog. We're good now. I got this. Hey, how's Rufus today? You remembered that I have a dog named Rufus? Yeah. How's he doing? He go out in the snow. Does he like the snow? Does he eat it? What do you guys do together? Do you ever fall asleep on him? You know, just the whole deal. And they'll just open right up. All right. The gospel. Kids can get saved. And the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Don't neglect to give the gospel, to present it. From childhood, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation, Paul said to Timothy. And so we want to sow truth in the kids' lives so that they can come to the Lord to a saving knowledge of the truth. Use of rewards. Ooh, fun one. True or false? I can use items on my cart to reward good behavior. More hesitant with this one. Non-committal. That's a false. Chris, you monster. Don't you want them to behave? Yes, I do. I do want them to behave. But if we gave things to the kids for good behavior, we would need to triple our budget. And so we don't. We give them praise and we pat them on the back and we thank them for their good example. And we say, hey, that really honored the Lord the way that you guys lined up. Good job. And we let their parents know, Johnny did so good today. He helped Beth find in her Bible where Genesis was. He's doing great. And now the parents are praising their kids. That is a much better gift than a Snickers bar. I promise you it is. Or their 20th stretchy man. Or whatever it happens to be. The incentives on the carts, the rewards are to help them have an incentive for memorizing their memory verse. That's it. Not for reinforcing good behavior. We'll do that in other ways. And that might sound mean and cold and heartless. And that's because I am. Just kidding. It's not. But that is just the reality of where we're at. And so please only use those things for the Bible memory and only give one away when they say their memory verse. Sometimes they make out good and you guys decide you're going to be extra generous today. And they're like rolling out and their pockets are stuffed and the chocolate is like melting down their clothes. And you're like, whoa, what happened in there? You're like, I don't know. Tom said we did a good job today. And, he said, as many times as I said the memory verse, he would give me another piece of candy. So, we just want to be on guard against those things. One piece of candy or one prize. Don't let them eat it in the classroom. Kids have allergies. We need permission for food that comes in the classroom. All right. Classroom supplies. We already talked about this. If you need stuff, get on your radio. Screens. Guess what? Kids can't have screens. So don't let them. If they bring a cell phone out, have them put it away. If it comes out again, then take it and give it back to mom or dad at the end of the service and say, hey, he was having a hard time keeping this away. Might be a good idea not to bring it. We're a screen-free zone here, Calvary, Philly. The only exception for that, my friends with special needs who have a communication device. We want them to bring that. Of all things, please let your child communicate with us. Please, please, please. But anything else, we're not going to have. No Nintendo Switches, no cell phones, no tablets. Kids bring their laptops, all kinds of stuff that has come through children's ministry. And we already mentioned the sensory items, fidgets, canceling headphones, the whole thing. Speeding on up here. Discipline and correction. This was newly added over a year ago. Listen. Parents are the primary disciplers of their children. They are to be the ones who hold the primary responsibility to discipline their children. We rob parents of the ability and privilege of discipling their kids when we are not honest with them about how their kids behave in children's ministry or special needs ministry, because kids with special needs also have sinful hearts. And there's a line there. And there's correction that needs to take place. So sometimes there are behaviors that need to be corrected. And sometimes that should be shared with the parents. Not all the time. I don't want you to have a laundry list of things, ways that little Johnny was a sinner today for the parents to take home with. All the ways that your child was horrible today. No, that's not what we're doing. But if kids have a particular sin struggle and we need to talk to them repeatedly, then we want to come alongside the parents and give them an opportunity to come alongside of us. So first thing, respond, don't react. We don't want to be reactors. Slow to speak, slow to get angry. Soft answer turns away wrath. Don't enter into it. Remain calm and pray. Never hit, yell at, shame, or humiliate a child. Don't compare. Why can't you be more like Susie? She's an angel and you're horrible. Johnny's like, wow, guess what my Sunday school teacher said today, Mom? In most cases, follow the three strikes rule, especially for the older kids. And this is after you have already tried other things. You've sat down next to the child. You've moved the child's seat. You've asked them to help out with such and such. This is after that. And now we've repeatedly addressed it. Hey, this is strike one. Just a warning, if we get to strike two, I'm going to be talking to mom when she comes to the door. And you let them know, hey, this is what strike one is. This is what strike two will be. You get to strike two. I asked you to stop that. Come on, this is disrupting. That doesn't honor God. Now I'm going to be talking to mom when she comes, and we're going to see if we can do better next week. And then if mom actually comes to the door at sign out, then you actually need to talk to mom about the things that were taking place. Hey, before you go, just wanted to let you know, John was having a hard time today. Like he kept poking the kids who were next to him. I've moved his seat a couple times. We tried to work through it, but I don't know if you have anything that we can do to help John out or if you want to have a conversation with him. And sometimes parents will get defensive. A lot of times they won't, and they'll take care of it, and they'll be a mom or a dad that God's calling them to be, and it'll be all good, and they'll ask them to apologize. If we get to the third strike, you let a child know, that means that we're going to get mom right now. We're going to get dad right now. We're going to get grandmom right now. They're going to come out of the sanctuary. They're going to come talk to you right now. I have only gotten to strike three with two kids, and I never got to strike three again after I got to strike three the first time. And if you've gotten to strike two, you're usually really not wanting to get to strike three. You're like, Lord, anything but strike three. I don't want to do this. I'm teaching right now. I can't stop teaching to address this. I don't want to get on, you know, the whole thing, and all the excuses come up. But when we allow misbehavior to continue in the classroom, it communicates something about God to the children that we can do whatever we want without consequence. And that's not what we're putting on display for the kids. Sin has consequences. Oh, yeah, where sin abounds, grace does abound. But not, we're not going to let lawlessness rule the land. This isn't the Wild West. We are all saved by grace. But there are rules, and there is structure, and this is how we love one another. And this is how we love the parents well. So if you say it, then do it. And for the younger kids, 2, 3-year-olds, even 4-year-olds sometimes, you might give a toy a timeout as opposed to giving like a kid a timeout or something like that. You know, sometimes you just need to remove an item or place a child in a timeout for a short time. But with the older kids, do the strike system. Don't have them go stand in the corner in front of all their friends and get shamed. And then if a child needs to ask forgiveness for something that they did to another child, give that opportunity. But don't force it. Obviously, for extreme behaviors, bypass the strike system. And just get their number up. Holidays, Jesus is always our emphasis. Kids, celebrate Halloween, don't celebrate Halloween. Celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate Christmas. Celebrate Easter with a basket from the Easter bunny in the morning, and others say that's the devil. We don't do that. And so we don't decorate our classrooms with any of the secular elements of holidays. We always point to Jesus, and we always redirect, hey, Jesus is we're here to worship him. Let's talk about him. Have you heard about why Christmas is here at all? Because the Savior was born in the world. The whole thing, just deflect. Redirect. True or false? When leaving a room, you should have your radio, your tablet, and any yellow forms with you at all times. That is very true. That is very true. Three things. Tablet, radio, any yellow forms. Do not leave your room without your tablet. That means you're leaving your room without actually having a way to know what your head count is or who the kids are in your class. And if you don't have the yellow forms with you, then your head count's going to be off. And so the most vulnerable time for kids are going to be when we move location. And so when we move, please hear me when I say this, when we move location, you're going to a room for worship, you're going to the bathroom together, wherever you're going, a volunteer at the front, a volunteer in the back, somebody in the middle if you have a third volunteer in your room. But the kids are not leading the way and they're not trailing behind because some of them, they want to get away. They want to find their freedom. They want to explore the building and find out what other opportunities are out there on a Sunday morning. They just want the whole thing. And so we need to be careful every time we leave somewhere to do a head count. Make sure we have everyone so that no one is left behind. And when we get back to our classroom to do our head count, make sure we have everyone. No one was left behind. So have your tablet, have your radio, and if anyone goes missing, get on the radio and say, hey, I have a kid missing. That happened this morning, actually. Hey, we are missing one of the kids from our kindergarten classroom. Oh, okay, I'll be right over. Let me see what happened. And it turns out that dad had actually taken that kid. He had signed it initially, and then dad said, you know what, I don't think it's going to work today. And then later the kid changed his mind, and he did end up coming back in the room. But he was still signed in, and so it looked like they were missing a kid when they actually weren't. So it was all good. I'm glad they noticed. That means they looked at their tablet and did a head count, and they got on their radio and did what they should do. Praise the Lord. Bathroom time. Think about the whole class stop, if your class is going to do that. Otherwise, it's just going to be a constant trickle. Be verbally present. be verbally supervising the bathroom time. Bathroom doors are propped open. Child only bathrooms, not even the junior vols are allowed to go in there. Any fifth graders and below, that's all it's for. And you need to be verbally present, ears on what's taking place, not disconnected, not chatting with another volunteer in the hallway, listening. Are kids bullying each other? Are they looking under stalls? Are they dispensing all of the soap in the soap container? What is going on in there? Does somebody need help? Is somebody afraid? What's going on? And so be verbally present. Hey, did you wash your hands? All right, let's finish up in there, guys. No goofing off. Hey, get out here. Whatever needs to happen. Let them know that you are still very much present and there if needed. Only adult volunteers are supposed to be taking kids to the bathroom. Maybe that surprises some of you. Only adult volunteers are to take kids to the bathroom. Why? For the same reason that only adults are supposed to be signing kids into the classroom. What if a kid slips, gets injured? What if it turns out that they're standing there in the hallway and then a man walks into the bathroom? What if the lockdown alarm goes off while kids are in the bathroom? What if the fire alarm goes off while you have kids at the bathroom? There are just so many different things that an adult should respond to at the bathroom that we shouldn't put it on the 14-year-old volunteer who took the kids to the bathroom. So please hear me when I say that's like not an optional thing. That's not like playing loose with this one. Only an adult should take kids to the bathroom. Ideally, only a female adult, but that's not necessarily always possible because we have so many dudes serving in children's ministry, which is awesome. Like a third of you. And at the elementary school here, it used to be that there was one guy serving in the elementary. It was a vice principal. And now they have one other male teacher. And it's always been like, hey, ladies, I love you. That's awesome. But especially our young men, our boys, they need to have some men to look up to in their lives, especially our single parent homes. And so I am blessed by you men who serve and by the ladies who serve. Both are needed. So thank you, but preferably female should be the one accompanying kids to the bathroom. And that means that if there's only two volunteers in your room and somebody needs to go to the bathroom, the first thing that you should do is get on your radio and say, hey, I need help with a bathroom run so that you don't leave a volunteer alone with the kids while you take a kid to the bathroom. It's fine to take a child to the bathroom and be alone because there's other people in the hallway. There's security cameras watching what's going on. But never in the alone in the room. If younger kids are in the bathroom, have older kids wait if they come. Wait outside. There shouldn't be a power imbalance. Abuse doesn't just take place adult to child. It can be child to child. No volunteers are to enter the bathroom with children unless there's an emergency. And if needed, two female volunteers should go in if help is needed and then come out as soon as possible. Kid needs help with a zipper, button, anything like that. Put yourself in view of a security camera. Ask another volunteer to watch. Do what you got to do and be done. Sign out. Parents do not enter the classroom for sign out. Have them wait outside. Yes, it backs up. Yes, there's a line. This is how we do things. Children will meet them at the door. If a child was signed in with a yellow form, they must be signed out with a yellow form. A lot of times what happens is we'll have a signature for a child signing in and then no signature for signing them out. And we think the child went home, but that means that we didn't match signatures at sign out to make sure that they left with the same person who signed them in. Maybe we were handed the temporary card, but anyone could have picked that up. And usually, you know, the child, I'm not saying this because like we've had kids kidnapped, but I'm just saying let's be vigilant. Let's guard our kids and let's be mindful of the things that we're doing. We can get, even me, especially at CPAC, when there's just so many kids signing up, so much going on, we can miss making sure that kids are signed out properly and that the forms are filled out the way that they need to be. And so obviously never, ever, ever release a child to someone who is not listed as a guardian ever. Ever. I don't care if, you know, the 3-year-old is yelling, that's my grandma, and trying to give her a hug. Too bad. You'll see her later. She's got to go get somebody else to come back. Someone who's listed as a guardian. Then we can add grandma. And do it in a diplomatic way. Don't say, you'll see grandma later. That's mean. But do it in a way that's kind and puts on the heart of Christ on display. And then for your forms, prayer requests, yellow sheets, guardian ads, any of your forms, they just go in that black box on your cart. After sign out, all volunteers are to remain in the room until all the children have left and the room has been cleaned and put back together. That's a team effort, right? Many hands make light work. Let's do it together. Let's spray everything down, wipe everything down really quick, put everything back, and boom, done. Teamwork, did it together, high five, see you next week, praying for you in the meantime. Tables, desks, and toys are to be disinfected after each use. Cleaning spray, paper towels, they're all on your cart. Wait until the kids have left the room before using the spray. We share rooms with the school, so when you finish, put everything back to the way it was. The school should have left a little room on your whiteboard for prayer requests or for your lesson or for anything else. So if there's no room, let me know. If there's an issue with anything in the room, stuff starts disappearing that you left there, you know, things are getting broken, let me know. Talk to me and I will facilitate what's going on with the school. Please do not use the school stuff. Do not shop on the teacher's desk for a new pair of scissors or for markers or anything else that you need. Anything that you need is on your cart, and anything else that you don't have, you can get on the radio and call for. But don't shop around the school's room and open their cabinets and look for their stuff for us to use. That's not what we do here. Any questions about any of that? Like if you have an adult and at least two kids under 18, then you can still do front, middle, you know, back. I'm more concerned about an adult. If I had to decide and choose, I'm more concerned about an adult being at the back of the line directing than I am being at the front of the line with their back turned to the kids or whatever it is. So that's how I would kind of play that out. Any other questions on any of that before we move on to emergency stuff? Yeah, Iris. Yeah, for first grade, if you have someone run into the bathroom, yes, as long as your attention is able to be on the kid in the bathroom, as long as you feel like you're still able to hear what's going on. Yeah, sometimes it's like they just need to use the water fountain quick or go to the bathroom or whatever. So that first grade room is right there. Yeah. Yeah, Kim. That's if no one responds to your call for help. Like first choice would be, let's get someone to either stay in the classroom so there's still two and two, or somebody to do the bathroom run for you. If we have to, then we'll, to keep coverage on everything, have somebody stand in between. Yeah, get on the radio and say, hey, can you help me with a bathroom run? Because again, then you're opening the door. You know, they might still be in a Bible study over here where the other class might be onto their craft over here and a little rowdy. Then it becomes distracting. Then that person standing between the room isn't able to adjust misbehavior in this room or in that room. They're kind of stuck where they're at to make sure that both classes are covered. So first choice would be calling for help. Yeah, so I would say either as a whole class, do a class stop, especially for the younger age groups. You know, that might be appropriate for four-year-olds or something like that on the way back from kids club. Otherwise, kids shouldn't be going into the bathrooms more kids than there are stalls, essentially. My brain always just says stop them at four. The bathrooms outside of first grade are a little less for the boys. I don't know how many stalls are in there for the girls, but you need to be able to manage the kids that you have. So you might be able to manage a certain five kids, but there might be a particular personality where you're like, I know that he needs to be the only one with me when I take him to the bathroom, you know, kind of a thing. Any other questions there? Lana? So the question was, the guardian comes, the guardian is in there. They don't have a photo yet. What do? You ask them for their ID. That was the right thing to do. Thank you for doing that. What do you do if they don't have their ID? Then you call one of the guardians who is listed, maybe that we know, and you would do that by getting on your radio and saying, hey, I need help with a guardian who's here. Can you help me? And then we would call mom or dad and we would say, hey, can you affirm that, you know, so-and-so? And that's how we would do that. And we've only done that once or twice, but... All right, lockdown. Okay, true or false before we get into the video here. After you're in lockdown, if you hear a child at the door, you can let them in as long as you do it quickly and quietly. It's false. Lockdown alarm goes off. You take care of the people in immediately outside your door and you close that door immediately, and that door does not open again until the lockdown is over. Someone has said the password and ended the lockdown officially. Security is in the hallways. They'll take care of the hallways. They'll take care of things. And so your priority is the kids in your classroom. And not that we want to be like super pessimistic and like suspicious of everything and everybody. But of course, if you're looking to do harm, you're going to stand around the corner while there's a little child outside of this room and wait for them to open up the door to help this kid out. Our security team essentially thinks through all the horrible scenarios that could happen and then prepares for it and plans for it. And then we pray that none of those things ever happen. But we're ready in the event that they do. And so these things are things that we plan for, prepare for, and we pray, Lord, keep us from ever having to put these things in place. But having them in place is itself a guard against these things ever happening. Because when people look at Calvary Philly, it's not an easy target. It's not. And so that in and of itself is preventative. And in the event that anything does happen, there's a team ready to respond. And we all know our roles in that. So in the event of a lockdown, I'm going to play the video so that you can see it. Just think top bottom, alarm goes off. We're going to play that. You remove your magnet, close the door, curtain, light, rod through the slot in the door into the floor, and then get your kids to the opposite side, end of the room from the door. Keep everything nice and quiet. Don't have your radio on. Don't be making, you know, a quiet game, pray, whatever you need to do. Fire alarm goes off during the lockdown alarm. You ignore it, disregard. If you're at the bathrooms, you go into the bathroom at that point. There's a deadbolt on the door. Take care of it that way, and then you pray with the kids in there. You keep them quiet, do the best that you can, all of those things. And so let me play this, and I'll try to make it loud enough for you to hear it.
This video is to show you what you would do in the event that the lockdown alarm went off while you were serving in children's ministry. The lockdown alarm would go off, and it would sound like this. And as soon as you hear that noise, the doors are locked on the outside. So you're going to remove your magnet from the door jamb, which will allow you to close the door. The door is now locked on the outside, and you pull your curtain across the window. You turn the lights off, and then you put your night lock in, which is mounted next to the door on the wall. This has a slot that goes right through the metal slot on the door. Slide it through and it goes into the floor just like that, and that keeps the door from being kicked down. Once that's there, you make sure your radio is off and your cell phone is off, and then you quietly get the kids to the opposite corner of the door, as far away from the door as possible, where you will keep them quiet until the lockdown is ended by somebody coming around with the password and unlocking the door. And then, of course, you would take the night lock out and let them in. If the fire alarm goes off during a lockdown, you disregard it. And if there is somebody at the door knocking to come in, you do not let them in any event unless they are unlocking the door, saying the password.
So several different emergencies. Lockdown is when you stay put. And then the fire evacuation is the opposite. It's when you want to get out. And that essentially sounds like a monster cricket on steroids. And that makes you want to get out of the building. All of us exit out the back of the building and line up out in front of the playground. This is what the fire alarm sounds like. Very different than the lockdown alarm. Lockdown alarm is more swoopy. And so the younger carts, they have ropes on the cart so that all the kids can hold onto the rope, go out together. But again, you're lining your class up, doing your head count, grabbing your radio tablet, any paper forms that you have, in all orderly manner, going outside to the back parking lot to line up. For the parents, the doors behind the sanctuary close and lock in the event of a fire alarm so that parents can't get back to their kids and can't try to pick up their kids while you're trying to get everyone out safely. They're going to be directed by security to go out the front of the building, walk up the sidewalk along Philmont, and come pick other kids up in the back. And so we'll line up back there. We'll wait for the parents to come get their kids, and your tablets will not work outside. So once you have your sign out screen up, just keep it up. Don't tap sign out. Wi-Fi is disconnected at that point. And my staff and I have a way to access Wi-Fi on our phones, our mobile devices. Sign out will be slow, but it will happen in a way that is safe, where we still release everybody to the right family. Yeah, some parents prefer to take coats because then coats are forgotten and it leads to this whole big thing. So I'll let parents know, hey, you can leave the coat. If there's a fire alarm, they're going to want their coat on. And sometimes they'll still take the coats and I'm not going to wrestle them about it. But we should always let parents know, hey, you can leave your coats with their kid, and we'll make sure that, you know, they get them back. When they step outside, they'll realize they forgot their coat. So, Chris. That is the exception. Yeah, thank you. So if you're up in Kids Club, up in the high school auditorium, there's a door in that room where you go out, takes you to the side of the building, you walk back on the sidewalk, the street sidewalk, and then make your way over to the playground. Yep. Any questions on lockdown or fire alarm? Sorry, I didn't see you, Sarah. It's a great question. It's been brought up before. I know some of you only take boys or only take girls at a time because of it. That's not a bad idea. Either take the whole class or take only boys or only girls, so that in the event that an emergency takes place, you're not having to choose one or the other. There are a couple other emergencies. We mentioned medical already. You're just getting on the radio at that point, asking for help. And then that is all taken care of. Hey, some save the dates for you guys. Children's Ministry Conference for this year is going to be August 14th and 15th. That is a Friday half day and a full day Saturday. So be praying for that as we prepare for that. The whole Children's Ministry Conference with both Children's Ministry and Special Needs Ministry workshops is up on the app and on the website. I would encourage you to listen to it if you haven't already. And lastly, If you ever update your contact info, let us know. Keep up with your clearances when Marissa reaches out to you. Otherwise, you'll hear from me. Come prepared. Let's do what we do with excellence as unto the Lord. Be on time. Thank you for serving. And if no one else has questions, let's pray. The last thing I'll say before we pray is God made each of you unique. And I tell every volunteer coming on board, hey, God has uniquely gifted you. If you ever have ideas, see anything, have feedback, I want to hear about it. I'm not scary. I don't yell. I'm very chill. And I like to hear from you guys. This is a group thing. You're all part of this thing together. It belongs to the Lord. It's not my ministry. Let's do it together. Let's make it better. There's always ways we can improve. So I value your feedback. I really do. And then I pray about any ideas that you have. I don't promise that I'll do it, but I'll pray about it. And we'll all do it together. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for, again, the privilege of being able to serve you in this way. I pray that you would lead us, guide us, fill us with your Spirit, conform us into the image of Christ so that we can shine the light of your love on these kids and the families who come. I pray that they would feel welcome, that the special needs families would feel welcome here, Lord, that this would be a place that is known by the love that we have for one another, and that would compel people to come in from all over the place, Lord, and get saved and join your kingdom. Further your kingdom in us and through us, Lord. I pray that we ourselves, Lord, would walk closer with you this year than we ever have before. And I thank you, Lord, for your help along the way. I pray that you would save kids this year, Lord. I pray that you would rescue children out of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light, and that you would use us in that process, Lord. So we give this year over to you. Bless everyone here, those who couldn't make it. Pray that you would just refresh them and energize them and give them joy and service. And we ask that you be glorified in all things. It's in your name we pray. Amen.